You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will get, of course, to the economic slice of the day's news that's being driven by events in Ukraine. But we start, as we not infrequently do, with the public utterances of one Jerome Powell, chairman pro tempore of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States. Pro tem, because he hasn't actually been confirmed for a second term running the central bank. But anyway, Powell was up on Capitol Hill today for his regular twice-a-year visit up there, said a couple of interesting things. The first one we already played, but here it is again.
I'm inclined to propose and support a 25 basis point rate hike.
1 basis point, again, is 1/100th of a percentage point. So the Fed is going to raise rates 0.25% when it meets in a couple of weeks. That is just about what everybody had been guessing. But it is kind of rare for a Fed chair to be quite so explicit about what's going to happen. It is more common by far for Powell in particular to be clear about what he does not know. See also the war in Ukraine and what it's going to mean.
We will proceed, but we will proceed carefully as we learn more about the implications of the Ukraine war for the economy.
And real quick, just because it's kind of on everybody's mind, Chair Powell was also asked about inflation and when it might fade even just a little bit.
We've had this expectation, as you all know, for more than a year, and it hasn't actually come true. So we're humble about the fact that we can't really call with any confidence the turn.
He says that a lot, Powell does, that whole thing about being humble. The thing about a global economy of which we are in is that those supply chains and the infrastructure and the regulations and the relationships, they didn't just happen overnight. They took decades to develop. And for as fast as the West has coalesced against Russia in the form of sanctions, cutting all of those ties, whether it's technology or car plants or oil pipelines, it's not just as simple as flipping a switch. You know, Marketplace's Amy Scott on the logistical challenges of divestment.
ExxonMobil has a 30% stake in Sakhalin 1, which began production in 2005. And Tom Sanzillo with the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis says the company isn't just a passive investor. It runs the project on behalf of a consortium of Russian, Japanese, and Indian companies.
They manage the day-to-day operations, the drilling, the staffing, the getting the product to market, and that's a big task.
And he says unwinding it safely and without environmental damage will be a big task, too. In a statement, ExxonMobil said the process would need to be, quote, carefully managed and closely coordinated with the co-venturers. In other words, it's going to take time. To try to stem the tide of foreign departures, the Russian government says it's imposing temporary restrictions on the sale of assets. Anna Mikulska is an energy studies fellow at Rice University's Baker Institute. She says it's not clear that will make much difference. BP, for example, expects to lose as much as $25 billion by dumping its stake in Russian oil company Rosneft.
I'm not sure how much Russia can do to stop companies of getting out if those companies are prepared to just drop their assets and take a loss.
Would that be enough to change Putin's mind about Ukraine? Karen Alter teaches international relations and law at Northwestern.
I don't think that's the significant hit that the Russian economy is going to have, that American companies withdraw.
Partly because other countries, including China, could step into the void. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.